Scuzz.
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 Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
So they're in the police station now, and Scuzz has messed up teeth, and he grins at Cindy Nikki.
Yeah, I have a question about that. So is he still trying to, you know, does he think he's got a shot with her, or does he know his mouth is all bloody and now he's just trying to gross her out, or what's?
I think he's messing with her.
Yeah. Okay.
Both.
Or maybe both. Yeah.
Possibly.
I just want to say before we move on that I was looking up some pictures of Lucas Black, because that's what we do in our breaks. We look up, we all have virtual backgrounds that we use, and we're looking up pictures. Lucas Black was in NCIS New Orleans with Scott Bakula from Enterprise. I just wanted to bring that up.
That's what I was, I was trying to say that.
Is that what you were already going with? You already knew that?
I said he was from NCIS or CSI or one of those things. I didn't remember which one. But okay, it was NCIS New Orleans with Scott. Scott Bakula, Dracula.
Scott Blackula.
Are we doing Star Trek because Justin Lin directed a Star Trek? Is that the thing?
Oh, sure. Man, it's all coming together, isn't it?
That is definitely why we're doing it, not because the song sounds exactly
Enterprise theme, obviously because of the Scott Bakula connection and because of the Star Trek Justin Lin connection.
Uh-huh.
It all comes together. We're so smart.
It's all work.
Such gearheads.
I found a picture of Justin Lin with even bigger head than, Justin Lin, but with Scuzz, Lucas Black. It's shocking how big his forehead is, and I have a large forehead, and his forehead.
Did I do it right, guys?
Oh my god, what is
that's the wrong that's that, Lewis Black
that's
oh okay.
So is Scuzz's forehead bigger than Tyrese's forehead, or whose forehead
yeah
is?
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, yeah, Tyrese,
okay. Scuzz's forehead is bigger than that guy from Hero High or whatever, that Sky High
Kurt Russell. Yeah.
I like that movie.
The guy who has the big, like, Mentolo, like brain head.
Oh.
Yep. I'm trying to come up with a reference and I can't.
Okay, I don't know that one. I said James Hurley from Twin Peaks earlier. I think that's the go-to big forehead for me. Tyrese, I think it's hard to say because he's bald, so you don't really know where his hairline is.
Oh, that's deep. Where is his hairline?
Where is his hairline? Yeah, you can't find it.
Anyway, we're back to Lucas Black. He is about to get poor man's justice, which is he gets the full brunt of law put on him, whereas his children, the children don't. The whites, they're all white. The rich kids get nothing done to them.
I have another thesis on this part.
Yeah. All right.
This is where I'm trying to get deep in film theory. In this is all the movie where I'm doing that. First of all, I just wanted to say I think this is the last movie where someone is hurt from a car accident.
Ever?
Well, I guess, yeah, ever in real life and anything. I'm trying to think. I think it's one of the last times, at least. Maybe in Fast and Furious, I think Michelle Rodriguez gets in a bad car accident. But
dies. Allegedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
Oh, sorry, Jonathan.
As bad as a German exchange student.
She dies as the ends of the movie.
Shut up, Alexa.
Why is she talking
her name Alexa?
No.
Yeah, it's her name. Hello. So, I hate this movie. Stop telling me to turn up down the volume and stop telling me to set an alarm. I don't enjoy this.
So then Lucas Black or Shane Shane Black
Scuzz.
He's talking to who I guess is his caseworker. But he seems like a
detective
or detective. He says, "You see Ken and Barbie over there? They're going to walk out of here without even a slap on the wrist. Mommy and Daddy are too hooked up."
And then for a moment, did you think, "Oh, he's going to recruit him for an underground, like undercover job on busting the parents?"
It could go that direction so easily. Yeah. That's so true.
That would have been good.
That's where I thought it was.
All right. And yeah, you're just an underground racer. I'm going to need you.
But I give you a deal. We have a clandestine group of rednecks that we're putting together a group of hicks.
It's the redneck mission, IMF.
I love it.
Impossible redneck force. Impossible mission rednecks. It's so close to doing that. But this is when this series becomes aware of itself for me. It's such an overwritten line. That we're not trying to make this realistic in any way. It's just how fast can we get this idea done so we can move on?
We're lazy. We're like, we have to get these people off the screen. But their parents took care of it.
But it's aware of itself in a way. It becomes postmodern, where it's like, yeah, we know what kind of movie this is, and we don't need to waste time trying to convince you that it's anything else.
The movie's called Tokyo Drift, not Arizona Prosecution PD.
Yeah, witness for the drift. So yeah, that's kind of also, I think this is the beginning seed of where these movies go in just being like, yeah, we don't care about it being convincing or realistic. Right. It's just like, yeah, just get to the point.
Well, Justin Lin and Chris Morgan are the ones that say, what if we just had The Rock come in and it's like a clandestine group of government people?
He's a DSS
and they just
agent.
Say, yeah, and we just say, we're just going to give him their mall immunity. And that way we don't have to ever deal with,
diplomatic,
well, they have
immunity.
Done crime, like bad crime. They've all done bad crime.
They're all criminals.
Criminals?
They're criminals. But yeah, he can just do whatever. Yeah, they can write their way out of anything, including a character dying in the third movie who they want to be in movies later. And it just doesn't matter. We'll just go with it. I think there's a skill to that, and I appreciate it. But also, so the caseworker, or whoever he is also, he seems so, he has like a hard-on for like getting this kid in trouble.
Oh, speaking of hard-ons... Scuzz's mom shows up.
Oh God! I mean, I opened the door for that one. But
speaking of opening doors, Scuzz's mom walks in the door.
If you never see this movie, she's a single mom who smokes. What's the color of her shirt?
And lives in Arizona.
What animal is it? Is you think it's an animal print? You're right.
If she's wearing a cheetah print shirt, then that's got to be his mom. Well, first I was like, is that his sister? Like, how dare you talk to him? He's only 24. He can't be by himself without representation. In Arizona, he's a minor. I mean, a real minor. Like, he digs for coal.
He goes down in the mines. And
he's a strip miner.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy is horny to put him in jail and horny for Mrs. Scuzz.
He's like, you know why I like kids like you? Because you're 100% conviction rate. He's like, I'm so going to put you in jail and we're going to try you as an adult. It's like, he just loves the idea of this like high school student being like going away for life.
I really wish that he had asked the mom if she raced for Pink's. I really wanted that to happen and it didn't. And it made me mad. I'm like, this guy, I don't know where this movie's going. Like this sub movie that's happening right now in this scene. But I was in for it. I was like, hell yeah.
Now, to be technical, the other kids are just getting off scot-free.
Mom and dad, you're too hooked up.
Mom and dad are juiced in.
Yeah, so is he saying that this kid, what is his name, Sean?
Scuzz.
Scuzz boy.
Sean boy.
Sean boy. He's getting the full extent. So is he getting, like, is he planning on putting on Scuzz, like the ramifications of what all three of them were involved in?
Trespassing, attempted murder, okay.
So he's
racing.
He's not just,
I don't know. I don't know what just, you would do.
Yeah, he's going to take the fall for all of them. Okay. He's going to have triple
he's
charge.
He's not just getting the full extent of what he, one person, would get. He's getting three people's worth of everything.
Sure.
That girl who took off her top was under 18, so there's child pornography involved in this. There's a lot going on. Look, he's going up the river for a long time. He's 24 years old. He's going to...
drifting up the river.
You're going to try him as an adult because he is one.
You're being tried as an adult because, duh. We're trying each one of your four heads. Five heads will be tried individually. One count for every head on your forehead. So, yeah, they come up with this wacky... they're like, we can't do this again. I can't move again. Where are we moving now, Mom?
Yeah.
And she's in there with the detective for a few minutes. By herself.
Yeah.
And she walks out and it's like, I'm not moving. And then it's just like, freeze frame.
Or, me and your new dad are sending you away.
Yeah. And if you're married into the Scuzz family, what's your name then?
Oh, it's like hyphen Scuzz. It's whatever your name is.
The hyphen.
So you'd be Jonathan Carlisle hyphen Scuzz.
Nice. Bugs and Scuzz.
Yep. So what we find out is they don't tell us at first. He's on a plane to Tokyo, Japan, in case you were wondering.
And there's a very, very drunk man sitting in front of him.
Yes, very drunk man. A child on top of him from the back seat, like crawling over the seat.
Mm.
I really wish there was smoking. I can't remember. I guess there wasn't smoking on international flights in 2006. I really wish it had that I once flew international, and it was at a dark time in American history when we allowed that. Ugh. And it was bad. 9 hours on a plane that smells like smoke is bad. But he didn't fly 9 hours because to get from Arizona to Japan is a lot more than 9 hours. I'll tell you how much it is.
Well, I did Detroit to Japan, and that was 13 hours nonstop, so...
Yeah, it'd probably be pretty close to that.
Somehow it's 15 hours from Phoenix. Why has Detroit got the hookup?
I don't know. Maybe you're going the other way if you're going out of Phoenix.
The other way.
Horrible way to do it.
Which way are we going, guys? We're going to take the long way? We're going over Europe and Russia?
I don't know.
All right. Well, it's a long flight. And he lands in Tokyo, Japan. So the movie is, we're finally there. The movie's starting.
We're drifting finally. We're drifting in Tokyo.
That plane drifts. He is going to what we find out is his dad's house.
Did you see the poster he passed on the way up from the airport?
There are lots of posters.
It's MC Hammer, baby.
Don't hurt him.
There's a couple MC Hammer posters. So MC Hammer's officially family, which he deserves because he helped Justin Lin get where he is. If you listen to the Better Luck Tomorrow episode,
you'll find out. He's not the only major recording star in this movie.
No, it's the only thing.
These movies are very entrenched in bringing in musical acts as actors.
I mean, yeah, there is a rapper in every movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you have Ludacris from now on. Once Ludacris is in there, there is always a rapper.
So, he's coming up. Well, let's see. Fast and Furious
4. Yeah, he'll be in there.
Is he in the 4?
Yeah, I can't remember.
He's in the second one.
I think so.
Scuzz has a guitar case. Like, I've never gotten any vibe from him that he plays music. I feel like he's only.
It's a banjo case. Thank you.
Gotta be kidding. Seriously?
It's not a banjo case, but it's the music of his people.
I want to see him. He takes it out and like he does a little Kermit the Frog thing. He like sings the Rainbow Connection. Rainbow Connection.
He goes to his dad's house and his dad's got a hooker, I think.
Okay.
Is that what we think?
I thought so. I was going to ask that question.
Girlfriend.
Is it? You have to assume, but that's all there isn't any proof. Like, it could just be a woman who's into it. Like, it could be his girlfriend.
It could easily be his girlfriend.
The coat that he puts on her says is a little bit hookery. I want to tread lightly here. Like,
well, because unfortunately, this movie has already gotten me used to Nikki being kind of a skis bag, so
will be a prostitute in a few years, probably.
Yes. In my mind, I'm like, you know what? Let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, could be.
Let's say that's his girlfriend.
Yeah, but
and at first we're like, who's he in the credits? That is his dad, and his name in the movie is Major Boswell. There's no first name. It's not.
Or his
Rick.
First name is Major.
What? He's in the Navy, and his first name's Major Boswell.
Can you hear me, Major Boswell?
His mom's name is Miss
Small
Boswell.
Ass house for a major. That's what I would say then. If he's a major,
that's a minor, if
like,
anything.
Yeah, it's like five rooms within eight square feet.
Yeah, but that's probably $700,000 in Japan.
In Tokyo. Yeah, like downtown Tokyo.
I have watched enough House Hunters International to know that the Tokyo houses are ridiculously small. Now, they may be playing with this, but again, you got to remember Justin Lin is directing this. So.
Well, but he's got a full-on garage, though, too, we learn later, not to skip ahead. So he's probably, you know, the...
splurged on the garage.
Maybe. Yeah, and he's got one room off of the garage as a living quarters.
It's kind of like Bender's house in Futurama. It's like this tiny little cube, but then he opens up to a closet. And it's like this other huge room.
He has some cans of Bachelor Chow in there.
Well, that's how I feel, because at first he's like, this place is small. He's like, well, you're sleeping in here. And he opens up a whole nother section. I'm like, your closet is as big as your living room.
Well, it's just another bedroom, though, right? Like, it's like the way they're, like, sectioned off. So it's, like, economic or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's great. It's very, it's very Tokyo. I love it. I like fish out of water stuff. This is all good.
Yeah.
None of this is bad. Also, this is time when Scuzz is not talking. So
he doesn't have as much dialogue. He's doing the quiet teen act now, where he's all sullen. You know, doesn't want to be there.
And he wakes up in the morning, and his Navy dad has given him Major Boswell has given him a uniform for school. Not only are you 24, but now you have to wear a uniform.
I think the uniform is pretty cool looking, actually. It's like, it's not like a Catholic school uniform where
it's, no, it's cool.
It looks pretty cool. It's like a cool jacket with a nice collar.
They're just to let you guys know, IMDb also was on our side with the woman. They just call her the woman at Boswell's apartment. Okay. It doesn't say hooker or something horrible.
Yeah, but I think Japan culturally has like a kind of in between middle ground, you know, obviously they have prostitution, but then they have
courtesan.
Yeah, like the modern day geisha or kind of like you know, paid companionship type stuff, which is not socially weird in Japan, I believe.
Yeah. I also like, you got to feel like he's a major in the Navy and he's stationed here, and he might not be stationed here for, you know, he could be, have to be moved at some point. So he may not have time to like settle down with someone.
Yeah. Right.
So he's just got to, you know, take what's there.
How long? I wish we had more backstory. I don't know how long he's been gone, because obviously Scuzz is mad at him for leaving, but he took him in. So is he leaving because he literally is a military officer? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
To skip ahead to parts that aren't this chunk, he tells a girl later, which I don't remember her name because I don't know anybody's names.
Neela. She's the only other girl.
Okay. He tells her that his parents split up when he was like 3 or something like that, doesn't he?
Sure. I haven't gotten there yet. I believe you. We don't really. His dad left. Maybe because he just wanted to keep doing the Navy thing and his mom didn't want to, or I don't know. It's hard being having to move around so much, but I guess she had to move around anyway just because of Scuzz. So
until she met the man that doesn't let her move around, the detective guy.
Here's one.
Just a fun fact. Here's a fun fact. This may be, you may be right about his name. I'm looking. There are no majors in the Navy. There are majors in the Army, the Marine Corps, and the Air Force. He would be, naval rank would be lieutenant commander.
Is he in the Navy? Am I pulling that out of nothing? Or
he's wearing a shirt that says Navy.
Okay. Yeah.
So I just like the movie's inferring it for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's just the color tag, Navy.
He has another shirt that just says white.
Yeah.
He's in the Air Force.
Well, he is white. Yeah. He could be in the Air Force. I mean, the Air Force is Navy. I mean, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
We don't want to start any feuds here. So this guy
got a beef. Email Murren at furiouscast@gmail.com.
No, it's cast furious for this one.
Oh, whatever. No one's emailing us anyway.
So I was gonna say, this guy should know about. I just got to make sure I'm right about this. He should know about being in the Navy because he was in Annapolis, also directed by Justin Lin, which came out earlier that year.
That's why he likes him. I like the guy. I like the actor. His name's Brian Goodman.
Yeah, he does a good job.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's
Annapolis, good, by the way, also features Tyrese Gibson and Jordana Brewster. So family is family.
Doesn't have Scuzz in it, though?
No, Scuzz isn't in it.
Seems like Scuzz only gets one try with somebody before everybody's like, I can't work with Scuzz because that forehead, he's too old, that accent. Ugh.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, he had some success. I think he was like, people liked him as kind of like a teen actor. But I think when he got old and he started to look a little, because people like kid actors who look good as kid actors, often when they grow up, they look weird because they like age into a different, their face changes and then they look weird.
I think so you're saying there's not been a Scuzzessence yet.
No. Yeah. I wouldn't hold my breath.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Annapolis. There you go. I haven't seen it. James Franco, Tyrese Gibson, Jordana Brewster, directed by Justin Lin.
On Hulu, school. Apparently. He walks in and everyone, actually, I noticed there are a lot of non-Japanese in this school, which is good. This is probably a military brat school.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to happen a lot. And he walks into literally a classroom of people that are not speaking English at all. This is all Japanese, which is fantastic. Everything up on the board is Japanese. So I love that there's no like, oh, welcome.
Well, she bowed to him. So like, you know, she's like, oh, hi, you know, respect. Yeah.
What's oh hi?
She said no. Oh hi. I don't know. I'm just saying she bowed. She bowed.
Is that her name?
She showed respect and she bowed. And he bowed.
She bow? Who's she bow?
Is she a little bow? Is it a little bow?
Respectful bow of an instructor to a student who is clearly twice his age as he should be, and then she's going to tell him that he's got to put bowling shoes on.
He's got to put on the wabaki.
Wabaki.
Oh, I thought she was saying rubber feet.
Hey, that is rubber feet. They are very rubber at the tip.
Yeah, you got
they
look like grips.
That's my bad. I thought she was trying to speak English and she
if
was
someone
feet,
if like, someone showed me these shoes, I would first thing I'd say is these look like the space shuttle. That's the first thing I thought when he pulled them out. I'm like, those look like the space shuttle. They have like a little front end, a little cone end that's a
is
different
this
color.
Like reduced sweeping. Like I was very curious. Like, you know, when you go bowling, it's so you don't scuff up the bowling alley, but you know,
No, it's a Japanese tradition. You don't wear your shoes in anywhere. Oh. It's considered rude.
So your indoor right. slippies. You gotta have your slippy wallabies. But they don't slip because they got grips.
Like a Curb Your Enthusiasm yeah. skit. Okay.
Basically, it is. Yes.
And I really want to
well,
see.
Why do I have to
movies.
Wear these shoes? I don't understand.
Yes.
I just don't. I don't want to wear them. I don't want to wear them.
Why do I have to wear outside shoes? Why can't I wear my socks? My socks are inside sock inside
the
shoe socks.
Socks
Larry,
the slippers.
Be respectful. Just put the shoes on, Larry.
What is this food? I can't eat
Larry,
this.
Just eat the food.
Oh, okay. We go to lunch, and of course, I like that Justin Lin makes him look like he's weird because the food that they have out is traditional. It's everything. It's a lot of seafood. There's some sushi-esque food. Just things that are different to a different culture. I in no way do I find this weird. But they're like with him, he's like, oh man, I gotta eat this. I'm used to eating like, you know, I'm just drinking Mountain Dew and eating, you know, almond.
Flaming Hot Cheetos. I actually think he has a reaction in this, which I like, where he's like, he looks at it weird and then he eats it and he's like, yeah. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. He's like, it's purple and it looks like slime, but it's not bad.
Yeah, he's like, okay, I can get used to this. But then Bow Wow comes in and he's like, Japanese food is like the army. Don't ask, don't tell. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. It is 2006. Actually, that's 1996.
Yeah, that's joke's
crap,
already
holy crap. Holy crap. 19 minutes, 9 seconds, far right of the frame.
What am I waiting to get there?
I'm looking.
19 minutes,
what am I saying?
9 seconds, baby. Yeah.
Tabasco?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, there is Tabasco. Yeah. Son of a bitch. That's
Woo! Tabasco is our sponsor. We got Tabasco, Japan's Under Armour. Like, hey,
sometimes... Tabasco Under Armour. That would burn.
Tabasco Under Armour.
Put it on like a feat of strength. Oh, it's around my head.
Ow. A hot sauce in that bad boy.
You eating something purple? You should put some Tabasco on it. Oh, okay. Come up. Give me your best Tabasco. What's a good Tabasco tagline? I eat Tabasco only on eggs because I think Tabasco works with eggs.
Yeah, it does.
I have other hot sauces. Dave is a hothead like me. We enjoy spicy food.
I'm one to flavor crave.
Like, yeah. So I eat things with like green sauces with habanero and all this kind of stuff. But what do you guys, well, name a, give Tabasco's tagline. What should it be for this movie? It's got to be something drift based. We got to come up with something.
Yeah.
You know, slide into your mouth.
Drift on over to Flavortown.
Okay. Oh. Pull the e-brake on your tongue.
Man, you guys are good. Oh man, I'm solid.
No, they're not good.
No, those are all bad. Those are all bad.
Hey, you're shooting ideas out. I love it. I'm brain farting right now.
Brain fart your way over to some eggs.
Sexy drive into your mouth with Tabasco.
I usually have Tabasco.
Yeah, sexy drive into your mouth is the best.
Sexy drive. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Also, I'm drinking a beer in a koozie, and when I saw him, I thought, wouldn't it be funny if we made a Tokyo Drift scuzzy, and it's a koozie with his face on it?
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's good. Go. Except I don't want anything with his face on it.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
What about Ready, Set, Tabasco?
Ooh, I like that. No, the ready, set, Tabasco. Sorry, it's the only time I'm going to do that inflection. It had to be done.
Your Honor, it was a Tabasco commercial in Japan, Your Honor.
It's what they said. It's what Your Honor, because I'm going to jail.
You're going to get the full extent of the law on you.
Not if my hot mom comes in and leads me down.
Mom, please take a look at my hot mom.
Yeah, my Arizona hot. Oh, that's a good tagline. Arizona hot.
It goes
is it made in Arizona? It's made in Louisiana.
Yeah, Tabasco is the Avery Island in Louisiana, right?
Yeah, because it's just like, says. It's isn't it like salt, water, and pepper, the pepper?
Yeah.
It's like three things.
So it's like nothing. Yeah, what's nice about it is that, because I was reading about like, you know, hot sauces that you should refrigerate and what you shouldn't. And pretty much the word is like, if it has like a fruit base in it, because some have like use like citrus mm-hmm. as the zinger, that you should mm-hmm. put in the fridge. But yeah, the ones where it's like four ingredients and like half of it's vinegar, you're fine.
That was a good fleck. Oh, that's the kind of fleck we need.
We're gonna have Dave's hot sauce corner. I love it.
I like it.
I like the green Tabasco. I was gonna say.
Oh, green Tabasco is great. Oh, also, if no one knows this, I'm gonna tell everybody. If you do know it, Dave knows this. Always look on the bottom of your Tabasco sauce. If the Tabasco number is higher, spicier. They're all batched. Yeah. Now I learned that, and to this day, I will look at the bottom. And sometimes they get them in cases, and they're like all the same. But sometimes you can find different batches. Are different flavors. They have places where you can try all the different kinds, and the difference between like a 3 and like a 15, it's sizable.
Interesting. So they don't put it right on the label. It's just like a number. No, it's like a serial number.
Because it's batched, because they just make this stuff. They don't mean it to be twice as spicy. It just sometimes is.
They make it old school. They don't have this, you know, they don't have robots making this stuff. They make
That job where the guy, he tastes it and tells you what number it is. It's good. Yeah, eight.
That's
it's
a good
eight.
Job.
Ah, this one's weak. Give it a 3. I like it. I'm going to Chipotle. I'm going to throw out every one of their bottles and say, I'm not leaving until I find like a 10.
You just walk over there and just like take them with your hand and throw them off the little kiosk they're on. Like, what is this shit? What are these sixes?
Give me your manager.
When I'm done here, I want to drift over to the bathroom when I'm done here. I'm not going to get there with a 5.
I want the quack, and I want my hot sauce.
And Murren did mention this earlier. We do meet our rapper of the movie, a rapper du jour of the movie. This is Lil Bow Wow. Welcome, Bow Wow. Lil Bow Wow to his friends when he was a kid.
Yeah, now he's not so little. Bow Wow. He's actually 19 now. So he's still a teen.
Now? Right now?
No. Did he die? No, in the movie.
Did he die?
No.
Okay.
During filming, he was 19. I looked up all the ages of the teens.
Through this chunk, I was happy with his acting. I was like,
yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I was ready to roll my eyes. I was like, oh, no, he's handling it well.
He's been in other stuff. So this isn't his first movie. So that helps.
Yeah, he's fine. He doesn't have to stretch too much, but like he does fine. He loves his Holt car.
If you don't know Lil Bow Wow, he was on the soundtrack for Big Mama's House. Bounce With Me, one of his famous songs. He has a bunch. He's not bad. Mm-hmm. He was a little kid, and he was actually pretty good. And his I haven't heard a lot of his newer stuff. I mean, newer is in quotes, but it was fine. Like, I like him, Ludacris, all those guys. They have fun albums.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they're fine.
I'm excited that they have him in this movie, because it's always fun to have a little – they always have to add a little flavor back in of, you know, like the old movies.
Yeah, it's Fast and Furious tradition to have a rapper in your movie. It's something that just sort of elevates it just a bit to where it should be.
Otherwise, I think this movie would be clunky if they had like, if Neela's in the class when he goes in there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's better to have someone who's also American.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like kind of like the same thing, like introducing him to this other culture. Otherwise, it turns into him asking a lot of stupid questions all the time.
It's classic hero's journey stuff, really. You need to have your first ally, and your first ally needs to be someone who doesn't challenge you too much. He's just like, he's right there. He's going to be friends. He's going to help him out. And then Neela is like a second tier ally where he kind of has to win her over a little bit. I'm getting all film theory, this one. I don't know where that's coming from.
You're drifting on us. This
our podcast.
We've thrown out the book.
I think we're doing this podcast over a long period of time, and it's gonna evolve. Long time.
It is, and I like that it's turning into this, because I mean the first movies. It's funny. The first movies are they're not goofy. They're just of their time. Mm-hmm. They're just dated. This movie is not goofy. It's goofy because we're looking at it from the prism,
but
it's
goofy.
Fast 9 just got a logo.
As I was saying, like, yeah, hashtag F9. It's goofy in a way. As I was saying, like, they're becoming self-aware of what they're of what they're supposed to be, and they're like,
yeah, especially Han. I mean, Han in this movie is self-aware when we meet him here in a few minutes.
Yeah, he's become
like they know what's going on.
The AI is becoming self-aware, and it's just I think there's going to be these movies are going to get more interesting to talk about in like the context of what they're saying, and like they're and especially in the world of like action movies, they're commenting on action movies almost like more and more as they go along.
Now, this is where he says, you know, he's Lil Bow Wow. I love the descriptions of the characters that come with the Wikipedia page. I'm going to read them real quick.
His name is Twinkie.
Twinkie. Well, welcome, Twinkie.
Bow Wow plays Twinkie.
And the cast in the if you ever go look at the Wiki page, go to the cast section, just read the little, they write like a one sentence of like each character distilling them to one sentence. First of all, Scuzz is a young man interested in street racing and a protagonist of the film. That's, but the Bow Wows is good. Twinkie,
a young
Sean's first friend he meets in Tokyo who sells various consumer goods.
he's like,
sell. Yeah, but where did he get them? I think it's the...
Also, they like kind of drop it like, after that, don't they? Does that come back again? I don't feel like it does.
We'll find out.
No, they pull kind of a Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. They kind of have him show up to kind of sell some stuff.
I was going to say, he's like the Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption.
He's the Red. He's the Red.
Oh, yeah, Red. That's the name.
I can get you anything you need. You need more Tabasco? Look at this Tabasco. It's a three. Look at it. It's a three. Yes. I can get you 11, buddy.
It's like the Incredible Hulk just stomped the back end.
So Twinkie, he befriends Twinkie, and he asks him about a steering wheel. He has a Sparco steering wheel, and he's like, oh, that's not for sale. That's mine. And he's like, and then Scuzz is hooked. He's like, show me your car.
And we go to the greatest scene of this chunk. The greatest scene. Because they use, one, you get to see the awesome Japanese-style revolver,
so cool
revolver design of car like parking where they put you basically on a Ferris wheel of cars and only one car shows up in each, you know, you basically put in a code and your car kind of ratchets around like a carousel and then your car is in front of you. And if first one shows up, he's like, nope. Second car, awesome, nope. Third car shows up, it is this green minivan with fists. Okay, let's talk about this. This car has, is that a foot on the back of it? Is that a foot?
I think it's supposed to be a foot, yeah.
There's a giant...
And then the fists are on the sides.
The car, the nickname.
And there are fists on the sides and a face on the front. This car
and hair. It has hair on top. It's like a flat top Hulk hair.
This car is the Chronicle of Riddick style, like underverse style of car. It is green, chrome, and has the we're saying it has a fist. It doesn't have a picture of a fist. They have molded out the panel to look like a 3D representation of a fist.
It looks like the Hulk is inside the car trying to punch his way out.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
So you know, he carries a steering wheel, I guess, is another form of security outside of just the keys, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I guess
I think
so.
You do that with, like, tuner cars, I think. I don't know. I've seen that in race cars where they just, like, take the steering wheel right off and just, like, bolt it down when they're ready to drive.
Does this car... Now, we have another group of brain trusts. I'm going to put you on the spot again. Name this car right now. What is this car's name?
Volkswagen...
You don't want to make me drivey.
What?
You don't want to make...
Oh, I don't need the make. I don't want the real make.
No, we're gearheads. We already know that. I totally know what car... You know, I was going to say, you don't want to make me drivey.
Smash boy. I don't know.
It's okay.
I thought the fist... Is fist two on the nose to fist call is, it the fist? I mean,
it has a nice... It's
like short. The Volkswagen fist? Would you drive the Volkswagen fist?
I would drive the Volkswagen fist for sure.
Yeah. That kind of works for me. And the hair on top makes me... And there's also other stuff. There's like these little black things on top. I don't know what they are. Like when he's driving into the parking garage, I have no idea what's on his car, but I love it. Oh, also the inside is crushed blue velvet.
Yeah, purple.
I can't believe he lets Scuzz drive it, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm going to drive. Dude, I just met you at lunch.
Yeah, that's a deep level of trust.
Especially it's his first day in town, and he's just like, yeah, drive these streets. I'm sure you have a license in Japan. Just drive.
Also, you're driving on the other side, literally on the other side of the car and of the street
and of the world.
Yeah, where's that seat?
Yeah,
in the world.
Where
that's
is that seat
true.
Where he's just like, he's far man, from home. We're on the wrong side of the road. Like, okay, Scott, you gotta.
At least they didn't do that. At least they didn't. Again, there was a lot of white jokes that they missed, which I'm very happy with. Like if a white director had done this.
Yeah.
They'd have been like, we got to make sure everybody knows this road's weird. Look at this.
One thing I have to say, like, I do like that he's like a Southern boy because it almost makes him feel more further away from Japan. Like he's just like,
yeah, he's fish out of water in from like Baltimore,
Seattle. If he was like from Seattle or something, they'd be like, oh, that's not that big of a stretch. Like, you know, but he's probably hasn't seen that many Asian people in his life.
Nope. I wish he was more surprised by indoor plumbing. He hasn't been yet. Not once has he gone, you got a shitter inside? Not once has he said that. He's from Kentucky.
Bama boy.
Oh, that's right. He's from Alabama. What's the difference? All right. This is our first
27 seconds. Rave. He's going for a sexy drive. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ray, it's our typical normal drive up situation where we see everybody's front of their cars and there's usually a scantily clad woman next to a guy with his hand in the car touching parts. Of course, we all know about all the parts in the side of a car.
Yeah, so we know about the parts inside cars that you put your hands on.
The parts you put your hands on. Go to the mechanic. Hey, can you fix that part? You know, the part, the one you put your hand on, it's on top. It's like a knob. No? Okay.
So, yeah, I think, Dave, you're trying to bring up the line where the Scuzz pulls out a tissue box and Bow Wow says, when you blow your wad. And I don't know what that's like. I know what it means, obviously, but I don't know what it means in this context. Like,
yes, Scuzz, a jack in this car. Like, okay, man, thanks.
So is it just like he just jerks it in his car sometimes?
He doesn't want to get on the crush velvet. I respect that, but I don't know why you would want to tell a stranger day one, be like meeting you, be like, hey man, just letting you know, I'm jacking it when you're in that seat. When you sit there, jacking it, thanks.
And it's not like it's that abnormal to have tissue box in your car. Like, you might need those.
You could have used it for any other thing. You could have said anything like, else.
No, they're close now. They share everything now.
He tried to sell him that laptop thick earlier. So he's they're now best friends.
So
when I saw that laptop, I just put in my notes, laptop thick.
Oh yeah. So he says, is it for just like he jerks it in his car sometimes? Sorry, Ella, you can't listen to this one. It's a little.
Where is the show going?
Or is he getting lucky? You know, maybe Bow Wow is a little, you know, he's a little bit of a player.
Bow Wow's a player. We find that out.
I mean, he's released three rap albums at this point. That's got to be worth something.
Some of them prematurely.
But then the third option is it, which is kind of what came into my head first, is like when you drive.
I just saw Jonathan and Dave just leave. They just left the group. They just left the recording.
Just hang up the call. But the third option is, which is kind of what I thought first, is like, is he implying that sometimes I drive so well that I just blow one, right?
No, he's implying that all these cars are like a gearhead's wet dream.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's super.
It's not the women, it's the cars.
Yeah, it's the cars. The cars are just like, they just, you can't help it. They're so cool.
Scuzz looks at the cars. He looks at a bunch of different ones. And we meet our first, our enemy of the movie. Not meet him, but we see him. They're in the background. We don't really see him in focus yet because Neela walks up or after she gets out of her car. Neela's a gearhead too. Hell yeah. The only other person that's not Japanese in this movie shows up, and she was in his class, so good. He has some sort of rapport with her. He walks up to her, says, Neela, right? She's like, you're a quick learner.
Neela. I almost thought her name was like N-A-Y-L-A because he says it.
And then she's like, look at the car. Like, you like car, you know, you know cars. He's like, I'm a man. It's in my dinner.
she has a scene about like, there's some other people working on her car. Or I guess she has like servants. I don't know how that works, but
I think they're there to make sure it's like everything's tuned up.
They're probably they're like working on everyone's car who's gonna like drive that night. But yeah, she's like, I don't need a computer to know when I'm revving. She's Australian.
Oh, we can do that accent. That accent we're okay with.
She's Australian. Yeah, you do the Billy on the Mission Impossible podcast. It's just she's Billy now. But yeah, she says, I don't need a computer to know when I'm doing something. You know, I'm such a gearhead. I know what she's talking about. But then he's like, if you had a V8, that wouldn't matter. He's like, guys always just talking about who has the biggest engine. He's like, it's in my dinner.
It's in my dinner. And that's when you see, then they focus in. Now we see the bad guy like in focus, and that is DK-san. And as they pan left to right, we see Han. Welcome, Han.
Yay.
Han is now in the movie.
I want to talk about Han, but I got to spoil shit for John, and I don't know what to do.
It's okay. He can spoil. He
Well, he's seen this he movie, right? Like the only way you can spoil for Han. No, like, I guess he's
John.
To spoil episodes 7 and 8, you know?
Well, we know if you've seen this movie, you know he dies in the end.
He falls in love with Wonder Woman.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's okay. We're dealing with a Han that is like he is hiding the fact that he has lost the love of his life. Comes here and he's like a broken man. You know, we don't know it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's a eating machine. He just comes in here,
eats his chips. He's stress eating. It's the same thing where it's like you had a bad breakup or something, and you eat the Haagen-Dazs. He's essentially doing it with his eating his little chips and nuts.
It'd be so much better if he was just guzzling Tabasco. So this is Sun Kang. We're super happy to see him. We're stoked he's now in the movie proper and not in some prequel that's, you know, been loosely back-ended back into the as his story.
A great actor and a cool guy who I'd love to hang out with.
Oh my God, he exudes Han at the beginning of this movie. I'm sure when they were done with this movie, they're like, we made him a huge mistake. We're killing him off. Because he's the greatest character we've ever come up with.
Before he even says anything, he's just eating those chips. That's that guy's cool.
Sun Kang of Mystery Men fame.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
First on screen.
Is this a crossover?
You should call this a crossover. It's always a crossover.
Now, what are your thoughts on him, Jonathan? What when you first saw him, you have no history with Kang, with Han.
Yeah, I call him Kang. We're tight.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him in this scene because like I was having a real hard time like even paying attention to names. But there's later on.
Do you know who he is? Do you know who he is and know that he's in the Fast and Furious
movies? I know
movies?
He's in the movies, but I don't know what he does in the movies. But I just hear people saying, especially when Hobbs and Shaw was coming out and people were mad that either Hobbs and or Shaw, I don't remember which one, like people keep saying they killed Han or something.
Yeah, that would be Shaw.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That's all.
Okay, thank you,
that's
Dave.
All I know, and so then I was like, oh, okay. So later on, I don't even think it's in this chunk. I think it's just later on in the movie when someone calls him Han. I was like, oh, okay, this is Han. And then later,
we would know. I mean, I don't remember if he says his name.
He does. He
says later on. He does. Bow Wow does earlier. Like that's Han. He's...
Yeah. Bow Wow. His name is spoken in this chunk.
No, but he does seem cool.
If
I were to take
on
any characters out of the movie and put them in a different movie or, you know, just another Fast and Furious movie, like, yeah, I'd like to see him in another one.
Not Wig-Son. That's what I'm calling him. That guy with the red hair. I just call him Wig-Son because his hair is so red. It just drives me nuts the whole movie because also it's really tightly cut around the sides, which in the back, you can always tell a wig. If you have good Wig-Dar, you can see like when it's not like attached to your skull. Is when it's not
has a little
hair.
Flippy flap in the back.
Yeah, it has a flippy flap, and his Wig-Son has that, and it drives me nuts. And he's like DK San's best bud, I guess. Maybe Han is.
DK
I don't know.
Is the leader of the DK crew. I know that.
DK doesn't.
Let's talk about
friends.
It. So Neela, Neela's his friend.
I mean, got friends. I got enemies.
And Bow Wow brings up, of course, the one word you don't want to hear when you're in Japan: Yakuza. So he brings up the mafia of Japan. So DK is part of this.
But I want to. We skipped over a line that's really weird now. Mm-hmm. Like having seen, I haven't seen 8, but I've seen through 7, and so we know, you know, chronologically, you know, Han has done like a couple big world class crime stunt. Polly-offy things or whatever.
Heist.
Thanks.
Heist. No problem. So, crime polly-offy things.
You know, when DK goes over to you know, make sure that his girl isn't going to be taken away from him because women are property. You know, Han's like, hey, why are you hanging out with the you know, the high school girls? You know, I thought you were moving up in the social order of things. And it led me to think about, why is Han hanging out with DK? Because he's got this crew. I mean, I know he said he needed to go to Tokyo, but why is Han hanging out with DK? What is he getting out of that relationship? I don't understand.
I truthfully think it is more of a callback. Of course, again, this movie came out before.
Sure.
And they didn't have it written correctly. But I think in the trying to build a better world, in my mind, he's going back to the way he was because he lost the woman he mm-hmm. loved. And he was he's a murderer.
Yeah.
From Better Off Tomorrow, Better Luck Tomorrow, he is a murderer. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I don't think getting back in. He was accomplice in Better Luck Tomorrow.
He held the guy while they did it.
I don't remember.
He got the rag.
He got the rag. Okay. Yeah, that's
murder. So in my mind, he's a murderer, but he became better. He fell in love. She died. He is now just kind of living his life. Like he's a husk of a man.
Yeah, and in Better Luck Tomorrow, he's kind of a dirtbag. He's kind of like this, you know, seedy, like, you know, he deals drugs a little
bit. He's a grifter.
And this is where we get the title then, the Tokyo Drift. Like Han is adrift, like in his own.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm.
That's so poetic. I love it. Yeah, it's awesome.
I love that. Yes.
Tokyo Adrift.
I mean, and Giselle, I mean, like, she wasn't a clean slate. She worked with bad guys, too. Like, she wasn't dumb. She knew that she's working with the cartel guys. And
she wasn't dumb? No, of course she wasn't.
I'm not dumb. But, yeah, so he's, yeah, he's just apathetic. And he's just kind of hiding in the Yakuza shadow, I guess. Because he mm-hmm. realizes, you know, he doesn't want to, he might as well work with the Yakuza, I guess, rather than, like, you know, do a heist that pisses off the Yakuza. Just be like, I'll fall in ranks, I guess, and kind of be like a private, he'll probably like third party contract for.
He's probably the kind of guy that, because remember, he goes in and says that guy owes me money. So he's obviously running numbers again.
Right on.
And just kind of doing the low level hench stuff.
Yeah.
The non-murdery stuff.
I wonder if he's like, I don't think he's not part of DK's crew, but he just hangs out in the same scene. I think he might kind of be.
No, because Wig-san is his number two.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if he's almost keeping an eye on him, like, because Han is like probably at least adjacent to the Yakuza.
Yeah.
Or at least but, does, you know.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering that too, because
Yakuza adjacent.
Because DK Yakuza seems adrift. Like he's a little bit on the bubble himself. Like, I know his uncle is obviously deep in, but DK seems like he's trying to prove himself. So, is Han keeping an eye on DK because Han maybe wants to recruit DK to be in the Could family? Be. Or, you know, it's interesting to think of this has gone a different way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Think of it like he's almost looking for a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Like, he's wondering, is Scuzz that diamond?
Yeah.
Is DK that diamond? He's just kind of. Maybe he's literally trying to find someone to fill his spot. Maybe there's some sort of, like, he had to pay up front
mm-hmm.
to be part of the family with Dom and the crew. And if you leave, you have a certain amount of obligation. Yeah, you have to put someone else in.
I like it.
That is family. Pyramids are family.
Pyramids are now family. So there's another connection here. Apparently Jason Tobin is also in this. He was also in Better Luck Tomorrow. And he plays a character named Earl. not the name I would think of, but he's part of Han's team. I think he's in this scene. He shows he has long floppy hair. He has Justin Bieber hair in this.
I'm trying to come up with Han's gang's name. Be like Hang doesn't work. It's the wrong, but it's right there.
The Hang.
It's Hang.
But that's just already a word, so.
Right.
The Hong Kong.
Because it's Han, H-A-N, Han Hang. They share two of the word letters. I'm just trying to, I can't come up with it. Hong Kong?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
the Hong Gang, the Hang Gang. Hong Gang
and Donkey Kong and Hong Kong.
Yeah, DK stands for Donkey Kong, as we know.
As we've learned. And we learn, okay, so, of course, Scuzz gets in a fight over the girl in 2 seconds of being there. And DK says, let's race. And when they race, and he's like, we're going to race my way. And we find out DK stands for Donkey Kong. And really, it means Drift King.
He's the Drift King.
Oh, see, I totally forgot that.
And he's like, drifting.
I heard that, and then I completely forgot that for the rest of the movie. So every time they call him DK, I was like, what was that again? Donkey Kong, I guess.
Donkey Kong?
Why is he DK?
Dairy Queen.
Yeah, he's like, drift?
Well, look,
dude,
drift.
You shouldn't. Yeah, and that's like the great cutscene to... Oh hell! It's like the break that you get in the Dukes of Hazzard. Oh, he's really stepped in it now. The Duke boys have really stepped in it now. Diddle 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 diddle. Cut to break. So
I like that he calls him Justin Timberlake. He's like, what are
you,
the Justin Timberlake of Japan? And I was like, was that an insult back then? Because they like just, I don't know. You could, I guess it could be an insult now, but I feel like Justin Timberlake's kind of like, oh, he's cool now. Like he's fine.
He's not cool. He's an asshole. But
okay.
He's scuzz. He would find Justin Timberlake. Yeah,
Justin Timberlake is like a prissy guy to him, probably.
If you're not Kid Rock, you're not nothing.
Sexy driving back.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Oh wait. I'm sorry. I said Justin Timberlake was an asshole. I apologize. I thought you were talking about Justin Bieber.
Oh, no, I was earlier. I don't.
Okay.
Justin.
Sorry. I apologize, J. Tim, if you're listening.
Justin Bieber was not famous in 2006. So.
No, I go back
like,
on
Justin
that.
Bieber. Like, I don't know who that is.
I'll cut that all out. I'm not. No, Justin Timberlake's great.
Okay,
seems like a nice guy. Yes, because you were like, he seems like a nice guy. I'm like, Justin Bieber seems like a nice guy. Like, what are you reading?
I don't know. He seems. Anyway, we'll cut all this out. He calls him Justin Timberlake. What are you, the Justin Timberlake of Japan? And that makes him really mad, though. He's like, I don't like.
I'm
that.
Scared.
And then he does this thing where he puts his like head down like this. He looks really intimidating or tries to.
And this. Just so you know, Jonathan, is the first time we're going to see two-inch talking. Two-inch talking is something that Fast and the Furious has made famous, where the two protagonists stand 2 inches away from each other and talk into each other's mouths. And it's happening now for the first time at second, like a minute, like 26 of this movie. It will continue to happen. And it is off-putting as it is in this movie. It will be later on.
Yeah.
Oh, we get to see Scuzz without his shirt on here in a little bit. Oh, his nipples. Don't get me started.
Yeah. So as they're arguing, we get the Han eating chips gif, which is
so good. That's the gif.
That's the gif.
Use the gif, that's the one you're using.
You keep saying eating chips. That's eating chips or?
He's eating like corn nuts. I don't know what they are. It looks like he's eating bugles.
He's eating bugles. They're Japanese bugles. They probably have some weird ass flavor like lilac or something. They're like some of the Japanese flavor we've never heard. You're like, yeah, it's lilac. It's tire. It tastes like tires.
It tastes like tires. Huh. All right. I mean, in Japan, they have all sorts of snacks that you never see here. It could be any number of things that he's eating.
Yeah, we tried. I looked. I couldn't tell. And also, their shape, they do have a bugle-esque. They have a witch finger kind of look to them, but I can't tell.
I love their bugles, and he just has them all on his fingers later. He's just talking, like, brings his hand up. He's like, oh, sorry.
Eating them every once in a while? Yeah.
So he just has his hand on the steering wheel with the bugles on him.
There's a Han's gang name, Bugle Boys.
Bugle Boys?
The Bugle Boys. I love it. Thanks, Jonathan.
I also have a clothing line.
There are several steps to that, but I still appreciate it. I think that's a good one.
I do. Oh, those are Tabasco flavored, no matter what.
Yeah. Of course.
Tabasco flavored bugles.
That sounds great.
I think we're on to something. All right, my new letter campaign for this season. I'm going to write bugles, and I'm going to ask them to do a jalapeno Tabasco version.
Yeah, it's a crossover.
Is this a crossover?
I'm certain, like Tabasco has done like other like Lay's flavored stuff, or like Lay's have done Tabasco.
Yeah,
I think they've done Cheez-Its. I think there's Tabasco.
Oh yeah, those Tabasco Cheez-Its were fire. Oh, literally, yeah. They were good. I love those things. That made me go drift for a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but
they totally have like really bad. They have. I think they may have Alestra in them still. The Lestra and Tabasco, just enjoy yourself. Just don't make plans. That's their logo. Don't make plans. Stay home, please. No.
You got to plan ahead for that.
Oh, you really do. Plan ahead. And it's our first drift battle.
We have another line before this starts. Bow Wow says, he's trying to get Scuzz to leave, and he says, don't worry, Monkey didn't have his banana today. I don't know.
That's a good line.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't quite know what it means. I guess he's just like...
He's low on potassium. I guess.
He's cramping up.
Yeah.
You can't drift when you're hungry.
No.
Yeah, you got to have banana. Tabasco banana.
That's the one thing we've never seen Han eating.
A banana.
Han, you got to snack healthier, man.
And you can tell that it's 2015 because when the race starts, the flip phones come out.
Yeah. In Japan in 2015, they still have flip phones. You know, they're not, they're just behind.
Sure, because they're behind us.
Yeah, they're
not
behind
ahead
us in technology.
Yep.
But I like at the beginning of this race, we got a real t-shirt, t-top situation here, or a tank top. You know, DK's got the tank top and Scuzz has got the t-shirt.
Yeah, he has the Dominic Toretto style tank top. Undershirt on,
and Scuzz is representing Brian's t-shirt choice.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's wearing gray, neutral gray. He is the tuna on white. Actually, he would be the – I'm trying to think of the blandest Southern food. It would be like
Southern grits. Food usually biscuits. Isn't too bland. I mean, is he grits?
Biscuits and gravy? Like grits? Yeah. Grits.
Grits with no nothing in them?
Yeah. No, that's like normal grits straight up would be like the most gray crap.
It's like gruel,
It's terrible. Yeah, he does the race. It's not a compression tank top. No. So
no, he doesn't have the bod. He doesn't have the bod for that.
He's not having to hold in his junk.
Question about the cell phone. So I realize that they use them through the whole movie, but in the scene when Scuzz is first sitting in the car and Bow Wow is talking to him, there's a lady behind him with a red cell phone. I can't tell if she's just like a in movie extra just having cell phones because they have cell phones, or if she's actually like trying to film the film crew.
I don't know. Good point. I think they're just filming everything, kind of like it's like a like they film it like look at this funny thing I did. I mean, yes, in the movie it seems in reality like she's filming the film crew, but maybe she's the fourth wall is there is no fourth wall behind them is just more crowd and cars and
Why does Han like give him the car? Do you think is it because he believes he will mess up and then
he's a diamond? Well, rough.
I mean, it could be that, and that's that's fine. I was also thinking, is Han like saying like I'm going to kind of like con him and to working for me?
I need a slave, and this idiot's going to wreck my car.
He knows he's going to screw up and then have to owe him work. Because he doesn't,
he's gonna owe me a life debt. This Wookiee's gonna owe me a life debt.
I do feel like Han is being kind of manipulative here. He's like, he knows this is someone he can take advantage of.
In universe, Han has a lot of money, so he's like, the car's worth really not much to him, but it's like, but people are useful to him. So he's like,
I had that in my notes at first. Like, why does Han have all these great cars? And I'm like, Han's a millionaire. Never mind. No offense. He has like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Three huge heists now.
Yeah, we're all good. No, they're not called heists. They're called criminal Dewey things.
Dewey things, okay.
Money criminal runaround.
Money takey things.
So, yeah, so that's what I see it as. He's like, I don't need to befriend this guy, but he's a mark, and I'm going to have him work for me.
It's a trick-ass mark.
Hold on, I'm looking something up right now. Sorry.
I'm looking up how to criminal run around make a money thing.
Like, how to make money doing crime.
It's illegal.
How to make money without even trying. And we get to the ready set go, what I said earlier, the ready set. They have again, you're saying they all do it differently, David. They all this time we've got the not John Cho. When this guy shows up at first I was like, is that John Cho? No, that's not John Cho.
Also, is this the only male that we ever see start a race?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. No, there's you know,
in Too Fast and
Furious. In Too Fast and Furious, a guy starts it. I think Ludacris starts it.
Oh, Ludacris starts the race in Too Fast and Furious.
Right. Yes. Cuz he does yell go cuz it's in our theme song from the second season. Mm-hmm. He's like going go.
I'm ashamed.
That's okay.
No, you're right though. Like it is mostly women that do this. And this guy even has like he has two women on either side.
I love his flair and he like points to one.
He owns them. He owns them. He goes, I owe number one, lady, I owe number two. This is 2015 or 2006.
It's awesome. And he's like, go. He looks like a vampire. He looks like a Blade vampire. He's definitely in a clan of vampires.
I don't like how casual he is with it. Like he's not like this is the fifth one of these I've done. I'm just like cigarette. I don't care. Just go.
Because he really like just gives it to the camera. He's like, you should know me.
That's why I thought he was John Cho at first. Yeah. I was like, is that the swagger of John Cho?
I get
because if he's literally just like a guy, just an extra doing this thing, like I don't know.
He is cast as exceedingly handsome guy because he's right after Cowgirl at starting line and Cowgirl at starting line 2. His name is Satoshi Yasumbuki. Oh, he is definitely a handsome gentleman. He was in Rage, Dragonhead, Josie the Tiger. He's doing a lot of overseas, the 47 Ronin in Debt. He's doing a lot of Japanese movies. So he's worked a ton.
Okay. So probably what I thought then he's, you know, if you've seen a lot of Japanese movies, you might know who he is.
Yeah, he's got you know what he's got? He's actually got and this isn't meant to be racist. He has an anime face. Like his face, he has an extremely stylized, like his face is very normally like stylized, and he looks like it. Some of the movies he did are live action versions of Japanese cartoons. Mm-hmm. So I think he just has the face of the guy that you want to be your protagonist. Yeah.
If you're not going to have a character name, having your character be named Exceedingly Handsome Guy is about as good as you can get.
No, that's you. I'd love that to ever be said of me ever.
Yeah,
not just fat turd with right, beard.
I want to get to the racing.
Who's this? Robin racing?
Who's this character? Well, Robin is racing. You got the tissue.
Don't blow your load.
he does actually rub his car along a lot of the parking lot.
It's like okay.
He's getting it excited. You got to have a little foreplay.
He doesn't know how to drift. I get it. But at the same time, he understands he is in a parking lot. He understands.
He would go faster if he didn't drift. If he just slowed down.
Yeah, it's like, no, you know how to drive normally. And also, just do that.
If this guy is like 18 in 2006 and, you know, or 25, there's a good chance that he's played driver for the PlayStation 1 if he likes driving. Okay? Like,
oh, I like a little video game thrown in there. He would have played a driver's game by now.
And if you know Driver, what's the first MFing level of Driver? It is a training level where you're not allowed to proceed until in a parking garage you do at least like 180s, like a drift around a corner and like stop on a dime. So like the first level of Driver is pretty much like if you're going to be a wheel man, you have to do this and you have to do it in a parking garage around in a concrete cell with all these pillars. So it's just like,
so yeah, he's probably an expert drifter, but this is Tokyo drifting.
Yes, right. It's the opposite way. Like the way the toilet flushes the opposite way in Australia, you drift to the left and not to the right.
He looks at the wall of a parking garage like he's never seen one before. He's like, oh shit, this is going to end. Yeah, man. Like you're not on a road. You've been in a parking garage. They've had them in Arizona, I assure you.
Well, that's interesting because he actually does that when he's racing in Arizona and he sees the construction equipment at the end of the line there. Apparently, he just doesn't look very far down the line. And
maybe he doesn't plan ahead. Maybe he's nearsighted and you just can't see that stuff.
Yeah,
you're short of drive, man. You got to get your eyes checked out. Oh, it just...
That's the real reason they move around all the time is because his mom never gets his eyes checked.
Oh, my
checked.
God.
Yeah. This guy lives a 16th of a mile at a time. That's what yeah.
Kid's blind.
So DK pulls a Rockford turn during this.
A Rockford file turn?
Yeah. It was popularized during the Rockford files. And I learned about this on Hyperdrive. They do a lot. They have a part on Hyperdrive, the show where
we may need to watch the last episode of Hyperdrive again at a group watch.
I'm down. I loved Hyperdrive. I had a great
time. I loved it too. It was so much fun.
And but anyway, I learned about that. They have to do that for a lot of the competitions. And during the part where DK is like facing down, he's like facing him with his car, and he's like he brings his hand out the window and he does the Morpheus, you know, beckon, come on, you know, come on, get me. And then he pulled a Rockford turn. I really like that. I don't have a joke. It was just something that I thought was cool.
Hey, no, it's not all jokes, man. Sometimes it's real.
Sometimes it's real.
30 minutes, 25 seconds. Bow Wow literally winks at the camera when he's like, I'm in an elevator full of women. Aren't I lucky?
I missed that. That's great.
Yeah, Bow Wow jumps in the elevator and with the ladies and goes up. Because it's a parking garage, so they're going
Air
up.
Air Jordan, man. You didn't mention how much they sponsor the Air Jordans.
There are a lot of Air Jordans.
Jordan, is that another sponsor?
So I'm asking Jordans? You tell me, yes. Man. Like,
it has to be. Okay, if it's in the movie, it has to be a sponsor.
Yeah, these are rules. We don't choose them. They choose us.
And then of course, Han gets in the elevator. The only cool way a cool guy can get in the elevator is by himself.
Yeah,
eating a chip.
Yep.
Eating his bugles.
I like how they get on the elevator to go up to the next level to see the next part of the race.
How big is this place? That they have that kind of time, they can watch it start, casually saunter to the elevator, and then
yeah, you'd think the cars would already be like the race would be finished by the time the elevator came to the floor they needed it.
And are they all taking separate elevators, or is Han waiting for the people to go up the elevator, yeah, he had to back wait. Down, and then he's going up again?
Yeah, he's broken inside, so he can't be around too many people at once.
don't get people are like standing there, like holding other people by, like, don't get on with Han. No, it's you just, you, trust me, you don't want to.
Oh, it's not good.
There's too much.
He can't get close to anybody else.
Too much drifting in the elevator.
This driving is awesome. We get our first drifting. We get our first e-brake. We get to learn that it's hard to do. And the only piece of drifting that actually made me go, oh, that's actually pretty cool, is that last turn mm-hmm. that DK does.
Oh, man.
Where it's just, he drifts easily 180 degree, like up a ramp.
And
that was like,
yeah, it's pretty sweet. And like, he has like an inch on either side of his car in this ramp. Like it's he's drifting.
Whoever had to do this, they said they wrecked 100 cars in this movie.
Of course.
I read a thing about, they're like, we wrecked 100 cars. I'm like, yeah, because you guys are coming within an inch, and these are real shots. These are not digital, where you're coming an inch away from the wall and then shooting that. So it's,
I guess,
amazing.
The question is like, what's the history behind this? Because like, all right, you have your Racer X article. Because because you know, when you started this podcast, you talked about that article. I talked about the LA and the New York racing scene. So I feel like mm-hmm. there should be some kind of, you know, Tokyo magazine that talked about, like, hey,
Tokyo, read a magazine,
like, check it
about
out,
Tokyo,
where it just talked about how, like, this is what, you know, this is what the youth is doing. Have you heard about this? This is what the youth is doing. They are Tokyo drifting all over the place.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there was probably a group that met at a school at one point, and the mothers were worried their children were going to start Tokyo drifting.
I heard Billy was Tokyo drifting last night.
First, he's going to smoke the weed.
I found the Tabasco in
the reefer. That reefer.
I found Tabasco. That's a gateway spice. You know what that leads to? Drifting.
You can only find that on Arrakis, the spice planet.
Shout out to Way to Dune Minute.
The podcast that will happen soon.
Yeah, it's totally happening. It's a real podcast.
So speaking of stunts, Keiichi Tsuchiya, famous drift racer, the real drift king, you might say. He served as a stunt coordinator and stuntman on this movie, so he might have been doing that stunt. I'm sure they had more than one, but he also has a cameo appearance, which we'll talk about later. But he is—he's
the guy in the bathtub in a few minutes.
That'd be great if that was him.
That's his trick. That's the trick to being a drifter. You have to be 9,000 pounds.
Yeah, the trick is he fits that body into a little Toyota to drive around. But yeah, he is famous for popularizing drifting. Basically, he's known for popularizing drifting as a motorsport. In the 80s, and also mountain pass driving, which is what we'll see later. Also known as Tuj or Tuga. I don't know how it's pronounced. But he has He has a video called Pluspy, which you can find on YouTube, which is just 24 minutes of him drifting. It was made in 1988.
Wait, just full on drifting the whole time?
I mean, it's different. It's different shots. Oh,
I thought he'd like found some perfectly round area, and he's just drifting for 24 minutes.
It's not like Locke, where he's just like, it's just one shot of him driving the whole time. That'd be great, though.
Or I'd watch that probably.
It's just called.
It's drift. Probably very soothing.
And just like it's just drifting. You'd wear out your tires though. But anyway, Pluspy is it's not super fascinating to watch, but it's interesting historically.
Is it super furious to watch?
It could be furious.
Okay. Does it get one fast thumb up?
It gets one fast thumb up, and the Furious thumb's like halfway up. It's interesting. Right. It's like 20 minutes on YouTube. It's sort of like what was known to have popularized drifting around the world, kind of part of one of those things.
Yeah, it is a weird sport. It seems like it's a mistake.
Yeah, like they're not driving right. They're going sideways.
Well, we learned it. I mean, they also popularized it in the movie Cars. Got to go left to go right. Yeah, turn left to go right. That's all I know.
I've never seen Cars.
What? Well, in the movie they basically drift around a corner, and that drifting is,
and they kind of basically they make it into a thing.
You have to basically you're turning the wheel the opposite direction of the way you want to go.
And you have to pull the e-brake.
Yes. And then you're accelerating also.
And you put the power on. Put the pedal to the metal, and then you turn the opposite way.
Yeah, so DK does this awesome 180 all the way up this ramp, and then Scuzz comes up with his Womp Mobile. He has destroyed Han's car, which is great. And Han's like, hell yeah, he destroyed my car.
Yeah, he does not. He doesn't have any reaction of like, oh, dang, my car's dead. Like, he doesn't care. He'll get a new one.
Yeah, it's great. And Wigson makes fun of him. Everybody laughs at him. Han does not. Yeah, you're right. Han didn't laugh at him at all. Bow Wow walks over because he knows he's about to get murdered by the Yakuza.
Why is he worried about that? Because he's seen with...
I don't know. It seems like he's been worried the whole time. Remember, he ran up to Scuzz and was like, you should get away from him. Like, maybe just let him live his life, man. You're really not friends with him. It's okay.
Yeah, they've known each other for...
a day.
Yeah, half a day.
He just drove your car. He just drove the fist. He just drove the fist for like 15
maybe,
minutes.
Maybe Scuzz still has the fist keys in his pocket. So he's like,
I'm going to be nice to him until I get the fist back. And then at the end of it, yeah, they what does Han say to him?
Don't leave town.
Yeah, oh, yeah, don't. Yeah.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
And he goes home.
The implication is you'll die. I'll kill you if you leave. I'll escape. I'll hunt you down. Someone will hunt you down.
So Scuzz goes home to the dad dojo. To dad's dojo, yep. Little dojo.
The dad dojo.
And dad, Major Dad, has been waiting on him, and he's drinking like six beers.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell what beers they were because we got to have a new...
Coronas.
We can't. They're not Corona.
They're also probably not Belgian ales.
Maybe Sapporo?
They're not Belgian ale, no.
Oh, God.
Definitely not.
Wait till we get to Furious 7. Yeah, are they like there's some Japanese beer probably, Sapporo, I don't know. Yeah. There's other ones.
There's so many. Super Dry, that's a good one. It's just called Super Dry? That's fantastic.
It says what it is.
There's so many good beers that are based on rice and not on barley. So good. We'll have to find a Japanese beer and make it one of the sponsors. But we got to find one first. We have to see it in the movie.
We got
to
earn it.
It is.
You got to earn the sponsor. Mm-hmm. Or it has to find you. One of those things.
Has to fall in our lap.
So are we to understand that is this his dad's nightly routine? Is this his dad worrying about him and staying up? Or
5:15, Hooker comes over. 6:15, Hooker leaves, drink multiple beers, wait on son. Oh, Myrn, if you were wondering why we thought he was in the Navy, here's another subtle hint to the reason why we think he might be in the Navy. He's now wearing a second shirt that says Navy.
All he's got, all he needs.
Nope, it's actually gray, which is really confusing.
Maybe
the letters are
maybe the letters are navy. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, got the. He's like, he wants to get rid of him. We're an officer and a gentleman level of. I have nowhere else to go. Kind of moment. Yeah. He's like,
you picks up the phone, but he's like, no, it's just.
And let's talk about this. We actually didn't talk about this when a horny detective was Googling his mom. This setup, this whole thing, I can just send you home. You can't. He's 18. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Well, he's not in the movie. Maybe he's supposed to be 17.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But you can't send him home. He can easily just be like, no, I'm not going home. There. He's like, you're going home. No, you already put him on a plane to Japan. So we're done. Like, he's there now. There's no legal thing that America could do. You're going to extradite a minor. Good luck. That usually goes well.
Is this John's legal corner?
This is my Fleck bit. Okay. What was it?
Fleck.
Fleck.
Bela Fleck.
I'm just wondering about the premise of this whole movie of getting him to Japan.
You know, it's wonky.
Sending him makes sense. It's like, look, if you stay in America, you'll be put up on charges. So this is like in between that I worked out with a horn dog detective.
That was rough.
Whereas him going back, that's not an option. There's the Japanese government's not gonna be like, oh yeah, well he came over here to flee the criminal things he did in America. We're just gonna send him back home because Major Dad says he needs to go home. He look at him, he's 27 years old. We can't send him home. If he wants to stay here, he can stay here.
What? Why? Well, can't his dad be like? No, if he's not 18, because they said in the beginning,
is that legal age in Japan?
Oh. Good point.
Like what?
It might be 16.
Yeah. What's? Yeah. I don't even know what the not age of consent. That's not what I'm looking at. But what's your?
But he hasn't done a crime in Japan, though. I mean,
it is still 18.
Is it?
Okay. Oh, okay.
It used to be 20, but they lowered it to 18. And yeah.
Well, the age of consent in Japan's 13. Ha!
Oh.
Yikes. Yikes. I'm going to turn this page off. I just got put on a list. This guy's looking up Tabasco in the legal age in Japan. What the hell's going on here?
So at 13, you can be somebody else's property.
Yeah. Well, as we know. And that's where this and that's basically where this chunk ends.
Well, we go
get a little bit more school.
Yeah, he goes to school, and then Han intercepts him on the way out of school. Mm-hmm. And he says, I get this guy who owes me money. You need to go get it for me. That's because
he's like,
because you're my property sure. now. Basically, he's yeah. Han's property.
And Han is driving yet another amazing car.
Oh, it looks so cool. And they drive over they go wow. to a spa. And
a traditional Japanese bathhouse.
A bathhouse. Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Spa. And, I mean, it has all the things that we as Americans say is a spa.
It's like a washy, cleany type place, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's like you're washing, you're cleaning.
No spa I've ever gone to do they make me put on a towel, squat in front of a water thing, and wash myself off with a bucket. That's not normally what I do, but that's a very bathhouse thing.
Yeah, yeah. So he goes there, and Han says, you need to go find this guy, and he has a paw.
The guy with the paw.
The guy with the paw.
I think it's more efficient. I think it's an efficient way to scrub yourself.
Well, have you ever tried to drift in the toilet if you're standing up?
Yeah. Yeah, drift sitting down, man. Everything you drift, it's sitting down.
You want to sit down. I was just going to tell you.
These people are all one spicy purple noodle away from drifting. So it easily happened.
Oh, man.
So he goes in and he has to pay the guy.
I love
that
the guy, yeah, the guy like is talking to yelling at him, and he has to put on a towel, and that is the chest of a 17-year-old man. Everybody,
he has a nice black nest right there.
He has he has long chest hair. Ooh, as a man with a lot of chest hair, he has long chest hair, and his nipples are disturbing. Yeah. There, I've said it.
He could have shaved. They could have done something to make it a little less prominent, but no.
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman shaved for Rushmore, you know, to make himself look younger. I don't know why this guy, you know, because he didn't commit.
Nope. And speaking of committing, he now has to commit the greatest crime, which is to make eye contact and to speak to someone in a spa.
Well, but at least they are wearing towels. So when I was in a Korean bathhouse in Korea, like, there is no towels. There is no anything. Oh, no. Anything.
This was for the movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone nudes it up. We have out in the suburbs, there is a very famous King Spa that is not shifty in a, you know, it's not shifty. It's just, it's a Korean spa, and it's all nude for men and women. They're all on completely different sides. Mm-hmm. At the end, you have towels and things and robes. And
no, you have to go out into the street before you start putting clothes on.
Right. Basically, they send you outside nude, and you put back on your clothes. So, yeah, and there is a gentleman, as we know, Drift King, is in the bathtub. the true Drift King.
Yeah, the real Drift King, as we know.
This guy is humongous. He looks like a sumo wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to body shame him. I'll body shame Scuzz for his weird nipples. But this guy has a giant like tiger paw on his shoulder. And so now we know Scuzz is going to have to shake this guy down for money.
See how that goes in the next chunk.
Yep, in the next chunk. Oof. We did it, guys.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oof.
I think we're now at the longest we've ever been for a chunk.
Yeah, this is a long episode. We had a lot to get through, a lot of story. But yeah, I got to say, I enjoyed this. I'm into this movie. I'll see how I feel as we go on. But
Jonathan, since you saw it the most recently, as in like today, an hour, 2 hours ago, what do you think of this movie? What did you think at the end?
At the end specifically.
No, just like, what did you think of this movie? Okay. Did you kind of go, oh, that was fun? Like, I mean, I know you did it for our show. And
even while watching the movie, like, I think it was kind of even towards, you know, the first half of the movie. So within the first two chunks that I was already like, this is a better movie than the other two that I've seen. The first two.
Like story-wise, and it moves along fast?
Yeah. Like what we already said earlier, just technically it's long, furious. Movie. It looks better. It might be furious, or I don't know.
Well, David loves it because he watched all the way up through 7. So
I am enjoying these movies. They are bonkers and dumb and beautiful and great and stupid. I love them.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I want.
That's all I want. Why it took this long for Hollywood to figure this out. Yes, I want stupid. You don't have a way in a movie. We can't get them there by driving. Let's drop them out of a plane. Yes, yes. I do not care.
Cars don't fly. I just watched Furious 7 recently.
Oh, I love that movie. That may be one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about it
later. We'll get
there. I want to talk about all of them at once, but I have to wait. That's the hardest part about doing this podcast.
Well, a lot of people don't know. We record this all at once.
Yeah.
we've been recording this for months.
Yeah. We have just one long session. We get it all done. Different guests come in and out.
We're doing like a Jerry Lewis telethon thing. We stay, but everyone else comes in for their shift.
Drift in, drift out.
Shifter. But yeah, well, I'd like to thank all of our guests, Jonathan, David, Dave, for all being here. I know at least two of you are from the same podcast, and if you want to promote anything you want, go for it.
Yeah, David and I do a podcast called UHF 60 Second, and after watching this movie, I'm not sure if I can think of a Twinkie Wiener sandwich the same way again.
Mm-mm. Is that it? David's not gonna promote it. You're all good, David. That was enough.
I have no idea if that was a plug or not, but I can't add to it.
All right. Well,
do we have a nickname? Do we have a nickname for Dave yet?
David, you need a nickname. Let's try and figure it out from this episode. What can we call it? It's Tabasco.
Tabasco.
I'll take that.
That's great.
You're spicy on the lips, my friend.
David, if you were Tabasco, what number would you be?
Well, what's the highest number? I don't think that was ever established.
Wait, let me look. I think it's higher number, not lower number. Let me look it up. Let me make sure
like 1 to 100 or
I don't think they're number sauce on the bottom. 1 second.
Dave Palace doing the taste testing. He's like 23. It's like
it's
not 24. It's not a 24.
I realized I had another note I missed in the garage scene, or the parking lot scene. There's a shot of a car that has two sake bottles in the back as Nas bottles.
Nas!
Oh man, there hasn't been any Nas yet.
Wait, I'm being now told that that's fake and that it's not about the heat.
Oh,
you sons of bitches! What is going on? It's a listicle, so I don't know if I can trust it. When's it from? It doesn't say, and it's got ads all over it for like face cream. Forget this place. I'm not reading it. It means hotness.
David's always spicy to us.
Dave, you're number one with us.
So and lower which, is hotter,
but you're more like number two because that's the most drift compatible number.
Well, we're all number ones here. Hey, we're done with the promotions.
No, we didn't do Dave Palace.
Go ahead.
I'm over at 5 Minutes of Mystery, where I cover the 1999 superhero comedy ensemble Mystery Men. So, I mean, I don't know how I can compare it to racing because you can't really drift in a Herkimer battle jitney.
Well, but we were just on, so we are your most recent guests.
That was good. We got to talk about egg salad sandwiches and chickens.
A lot of chicken talk. Chicken flex. Well, welcome. Thank you guys for being on. We're super happy. We'll be coming back next week with Chunk 2.
Mm-hmm.
We're super excited. This movie is just a lovely onion full of layers. So we're going to peel back those layers over the next few
weeks.
That's
what we do. That's our mandate. That's implied in our mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, justice for Han!
Justice for Han! I'm going to sing the song. Barracuda! B.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that. You teased what your favorite songs were, and then
it's Barracuda. We'll play at the end.
And here it comes. Is the other one the Tokyo Drift theme?
The Tokyo Drift theme is amazing.
Yeah, it's
but
great.
But the Barracuda song.
Barracuda's choice. Yeah,
it's coming in at the end. Here we go. Yeah!